Quick heads up, I do full chart readings at IamAstrologyReadings.com if you want to go deeper. All right, let's get to it. Thank you for joining us for episode 15, Born to Write. I hope everyone is staying safe and healthy in these times. Before we begin, I want to ask if any of you have been catching my street reports. If not, you can check my social media or my YouTube page. I'm starting to load more stuff on my YouTube. Also, last time we briefly introduced Claudia, but I really wanted to give her a chance to really introduce herself. So, Claudia, tell the people about yourself.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. Hello, everybody. I hope that if you're tuning in, you find yourself doing very well. My name is Claudia. I'm part of Walta Astrology. On Instagram, it's at Walta, when astrology leads to awakening. That's basically my little niche in the astrology world.
Huh. What's your three majors?
Okay, so my sun is in Pisces, my moon is in Sag, which makes me love this stuff a lot, and my rising is Aries at 29 degrees, which I just recently read is called the anoretic degree, I believe.
I'm not...
You're not sure?
No, I'm not too far into degrees. I don't really concentrate on degrees that much.
Well, on one of your earlier episodes, you talked about the 29 degree and the 0 degree,
mm-hmm.
and 29 degree being like basically like outside of the pool, right?
Yes.
Like getting ready to go outside of the pool, kind of like still in the pool, but like in the shore, almost like getting out.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess that gives me kind of like the best of both worlds in a way, between Aries and Taurus.
When did you first really start getting to astrology? How did you?
When I was 22, and I'll never forget it because I had gone through somewhat of a, I guess like a crisis. I mean, I was really young, but I had gone through like a really bad breakup. And I started hanging out with old friends that I hadn't spoken to in years, basically. And, we're just talking, and a girl that I was just hanging out with said something about the moon and how it was really bright. And then, you know, she tells me, oh, when's your birthday? And I was like, oh, February 2. She's like, oh, I'm a Pisces, just like you. And then we just started talking, and it was, like, immediate. Like, the light bulb just went off. And I don't know, it was just something that just triggered me immensely. And when I got home, I remember I went straight to the computer and I just did a bunch of research. I remember being on it for like hours, and I needed more and more and more. And fast forward to what, like I'm 28 now, so it's been what, 6 years?
So you've been on a 6-year journey into astrology?
Basically, I mean, and I still am as fascinated as I was at the beginning. I still, like, when I look at a chart, I dive in. At first, I wanted to really get a good grip on it, but even now, like, I'll still kind of like go back and read. I'm really deep into it now. I can't let go of it.
Has the way you, when you started 6 years ago, has it changed to today?
The way that I read
astrology.
Absolutely, absolutely. I guess starting with the fact that, you know, that, and you also mentioned this in one of your episodes, the whole like fate versus free will. That kind of gave me a run for my money, because it really had to make me think about all these things that happen. And the more you get involved in astrology, the more that you realize that there's dots that kind of just connect themselves. Much like how the stars look like, you know, in the constellation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think I have really changed the way that I think about it, my relationship with it as well, the way that I feel about it.
Is there a form of astrology you lean towards, or what parts of astrology you like to, would you say your focus is or your go-to?
So I guess when
you
I
like
start-
to do.
Yeah, so I guess that when I started, I was very much into like the whole sun sign, you know, and obviously, you know, my world kind of expanded when I realized that it was so much more than just sun sign, and that, you know, emotions had a lot to do with it and whatnot. But when I started, you know, obviously I was doing a lot of research on Cafe Astrology, and I think the focus on there was
Cafe,
a lot.
I think Cafe Astrology is everybody's starting point.
Yes, yes. I mean, and it's great because it's literally like you'd go to a cafe and you read about astrology. So I thought it was like a very brilliant thing, and they have a lot of really good content. But their focus, I think, is a little bit more modern. Mm-hmm. They include obviously all the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, Jupiter. I'm sorry, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. But that's really how I started the modern, and now I'm kind of. Then from modern, I went a little bit more into evolutionary, got a little bit more involved with the lunar nodes, got to know Pluto a little bit more. And now, with the help of you, of course, I'm getting a little bit more into like the traditional aspects of astrology, kind of just focusing on like, you know, the what they call the transpersonal planets, or rather the personal planets.
Yeah. The visible planets.
The visible planets, yeah.
The seven wanderers.
The seven wanderers, exactly. Exactly.
Are you liking that type of?
Yes, I like it because it's a little bit more predictive. I think it focuses more on prediction-based rather than what I initially loved. My love for astrology started, which was basically, you know, the focus on how to navigate through the soul's potential, or rather through the personality's potential.
Mm-hmm.
Of
more
reaching
of a
psychology
based.
Basically, yeah, reaching to that point where you know yourself and you understand your triggers and you understand that, you know, you can behave in certain ways and try to somewhat find a balance to it. Pretty much just accept yourself for who you are. And I think that anybody that loves astrology, or rather anybody that finds astrology, will understand or come to a point where they feel like, oh wow, you know, I found something that makes me accept me for who I am.
Huh. I'm glad you said that. So in the podcast an offer I can't refuse,
mm-hmm.
when I was talking to the Buddhist monk,
yes.
I asked him a question. I asked him, what is Buddhism? And he told me that's the wrong question to ask. And I asked him, what's the right question? And he said, the right question is, what has Buddhism done for me? So I asked him that. So I'm going to turn it on you. What has astrology done for you?
What has astrology done for me? Astrology has been almost like a pocket therapist, I guess, in a way. It's been a tool to help me understand how I just do things, that I do them very differently than most people. It's been a saving grace for me, honestly. I was really desperate when I was younger. I was sort of like in this quest for understanding myself, because I felt that I was very different than most people around me, and I felt that I was attracted to really different things. And obviously, you know that this is all due to the fact that I have a stellium in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt that I approached life in a very different way. And the more I started reading about my chart and the more I started learning about it, the more I realized that, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with me. That's just the way that I was. I was very unique. And that sort of helped me come into accepting, you know, being in the skin and understanding like, hey, you know, like it's okay that you are this way. You know, You know, you don't have to beat yourself up about it. Here are some things that you can do to sort of like navigate your life in a way where you're not being, I don't know, feeling like you're crazy or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, here's your energy.
Here's my energy. This is what you work with. Exactly.
This is what you work with. Now work with it or let it work you.
Basically, you know, either I could be asleep at the wheel or I could sort of wake up every so often and just take the wheel and be like, okay, like I can tell my ego to take a back seat now.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Well, you will be on. Oh, I wanted to say, but for everybody, hope you don't mind. This is actually Claudia's third appearance.
Yes.
I don't know if everybody's aware, but your first appearance on I Am Astrology Readings podcast was episode 10.
Yes, and it was a very personal episode.
Yeah, if everybody's not familiar, if you listen to episode 10, A Tale of Two Loves, that is Claudia spilling her guts.
Yes, I was expressing my love-hate relationship for cannabis and how it has transformed my life, but also at the same time, how I feel that it hinders me in some ways. Not so much the cannabis, but rather the incessant need to use it, I guess. And it's funny because now in retrospect, I realize that we did that show a while ago, but now thinking back on it, it's not even like cannabis's fault. It's really just my fault and sort of like not knowing how to navigate around that energy.
Sound like you went back and listened to that a couple of times.
I did. I read it. I read it a few times because it really came from the heart.
Interesting. So, like I said, if y'all want to get another peep at Claudia, go check out episode 10, and she will still be on the show. Is there anything else you want to add before I begin about yourself?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. If anybody has any questions, I'm sure that they'll ask you, and we can address it on the next one.
All right. Well, let's begin.
Alrighty.
My better half loves to go to Oakland Cemetery tours. So guess who gets to go along? Oakland is a very old cemetery where most Atlanta elites are buried. At first, I thought I was going to be like one of those guy things that you get dragged along to do, but you really don't want to do. What I thought quickly changed after going a few times. You see, on these tours, depending on the season, sometimes they dress up and have actors where you stop it by in certain graves and they tell you about that person and who's lying there. When did these tours become interesting to me? As an astrologer, we spend a lot of time looking at events in people's lives, matching them up with dates and planets. All graves have birth dates. So I started pulling up birth dates as the people told the stories, matching up the energy. By this time, these tours really got fascinating to me. I started sharing charts with my better half. Not only were we hearing the history of the person, but with astrology, it just added more spice to the tour. For instance, I forgot one of the gravesite's sun sign. Let's just say it was something that wouldn't have pointed to this aspect. On top of his grave was a statue of his dog. I started asking myself, why would that sign insist on being buried with his dog right there? The dog being on top was part of the story in the tour. Turns out he was a Pisces moon, which answered that question for me. Pisces' best friends could actually be their pets. Claudia?
I agree 100%.
As a Pisces?
My pets are my best friends. I would get buried with my dog.
All right. See what a little extra astrology can provide? Everyone else on the tour left that grave just thinking, oh, he's weird or strange for doing that. But we walked away knowing his moon, emotions, being in Pisces, meant he loved animals. On the lover's tour on Valentine's Day weekend, we passed the grave of someone known worldwide. When people visit Atlanta, they still go to her house to this very day, and it's in the heart of the city. This person was Margaret Mitchell, the famous author who wrote Gone with the Wind, an American classic novel. The book and the movie was so big, it broke records. By the way, I do not look up everybody, just the people that sparked my interest. What made me look Margaret up? I asked myself, what made this Scorpio write that book? Margaret was born November 8, 1900, and died August 16, 1949, at the age of 48. When I pulled up her chart, I got part of my answer right away, but when I got home and looked further into her story, it really got fascinating. I used a chart without a time at first, but then I found a time chart on AstroSeek that showed her as a Virgo rising. You need an accurate birth time to get the rising sign, so I doubted it at first. How could they know what time she was born at in 1900? But while reading her history, I kept going back to this Virgo rising chart. I think it actually really may be right when I looked at the aspects of her life. To begin with, remember the reason I said in the beginning I was wondering why this Scorpio would be a writer? If she is a Virgo rising, that would put her sun sign in the third house, which is communication. I could have stopped right there, question answered, but there is more. She has more, and she's really more fascinating than that. Margaret comes from a wealthy family whose father was a lawyer. Margaret has Venus in Libra, the sign it rules, in the second house, values and security. Being that she was a night birth, Venus is her benefic, as in good planet. This planet points to her family having money. I also find it interesting the father was a lawyer and a Libra. Libra is the scales of justice. Speaking of the father, not only did he not agree with the first marriage, he also didn't agree with her taking a job as a reporter. Margaret's Venus is square, as in having tension, her Saturn in the fifth house in Capricorn. The fifth house rules kids, hobbies, short love relationships, which she had many. She had many boyfriends, and creativity. Saturn here is the malefic, as in it's not so good and not so helpful because it's out of sect, being that she's a night bird. A few things about this placement. The first husband was abusive, which speaks to this placement. Writing was once a hobby, but as we all know, that was her creative zone, and the father wanted to stop it. She also never had any kids. I have seen a few charts of people with Saturn in the fifth house who were childless. I think all three of these things points to that Saturn placement. I don't want you guys to run away from this podcast scared of Saturn, because it's not always bad. It actually helps her out in the end. Saturn is in opposition to Neptune in her 10th house, which 10th house is career, public standing, and it's in the sign of Gemini. Neptune represents dreams, illusions, and magic. Out of the Neptune world energy comes artists, and putting it in Gemini, she created art with words. So how does Saturn play a good role in this? First, Saturn is in Capricorn, the sign it rules, which helps out. In astrology, that's called a mitigating factor, as in, you know, taking some of the sting out of Saturn. Saturn is father time and discipline. From the time she started writing the book until it was published, it took 10 years. Having her benefic Venus squaring Saturn helped her finish the book. Staying in the 10th house, she took a job as a local reporter from the Atlanta newspaper. Margaret has three planets in the 10th house, Gemini, which is communication. Gemini can be gossipy and loves conversation about many topics. This is pretty much what a beat reporter does. She goes around talking about things all around town. She was really active in this field, writing over 200 articles for the paper. This is probably represented in the stellium, which is three or more planets in Gemini.
By the way, Mercury just went into Gemini a couple minutes ago.
Yes. I just got a notification myself.
Okay.
And Claudia has a stellium in Aquarius.
Yeah.
Does that stellium, do you feel it?
Right now?
No. In your chart. You know how you say you had a stellium in Aquarius?
Do I feel it? Yeah.
Yeah. How does that expressed?
It feels intense sometimes, like it's something I can't run away from. If I had to put a feeling to it, it'd be very much like a very concentrated energy that is very much there, and sometimes I'm not sure what to do with it.
That's why I said she wrote over 200 articles.
Yeah, she did.
it can produce, and because where I was going next is, it can produce an excess of energy, which comes out as plenty of articles written.
Or like an obsession with like astrology in my case.
Yes, there you go. Margaret was married twice. Both husbands were ex-roommates and friends at one time. The first husband, Red, who later became a character in her novel, was an abusive drunkard, and the second husband, John Marshall, paid off Red to go away, to give him an uncontested divorce. The second husband, who is in the picture on a blog, I have a picture of Margaret Mitchell's gravesite, and it's Margaret on one side and John Marsh, the second guy. That's her second husband, and on the other side of the picture. So, yeah, the second husband's laying in the picture in a grave, and he is the one who encouraged her to write the book. Being that she is a Virgo rising, that would put Pisces on her seventh house cusp. Jupiter, the other benefic planet, rules Pisces. Her Jupiter is in the fourth house of home, family, roots, in the sign of Sagittarius, the other sign it rules. Also, in females' charts, Jupiter can represent the husband. Her husband, Jupiter, inspired Sagittarius. Sagittarius energy can be inspirational. Her to write the novel while recovering from an accident that forced her to stay home, fourth house. Speaking of Sagittarius, I said earlier she had a stellium in the sign of Gemini, but what I didn't tell you is that she actually has two stelliums in her birth chart. The other stellium is in the sign of Sagittarius. Along with Jupiter in her fourth house, she has Mercury, Uranus, and a north node. Gemini and Sag are opposite signs of each other. They are kind of the same, but different. Both like to communicate, but it's a different type of communication. Gemini is more gossipy, quick, and short. Sagittarius is more big picture, longer view, longer winded type communication, which is good for the newspaper, but it might be bad for the newspaper, but it's great for novels and screenplays. She knows how to communicate this way because her Mercury is in the sign of Sagittarius. She has a strange, unusual, eccentric, and shocking, which is Uranus, way of communicating this message. One of the big shocking points of the book was the blatant racism racist language and portrayals of blacks in the novel, in which she received a lot of backlash for. She also provided a not so good look at Southern white attitudes as well. It put that racist attitude front and center for all to see. Margaret came into her lifetime to communicate, but she did not come here to write short reporting stories. That was just the beginning for her big mission. She came here to write that novel, Her North Node, What Her Soul Wants to Do, is also in Sagittarius. With Jupiter in the sign it rules, this novel turned out to be a great success. I've touched pretty much on every planet except one, Mars, which is the other malefic. Being that she's a night birth, Mars is her malefic in Set. Both malefics can bring some type of stressful situation, but the malefic in Set might not be as stressful as the malefic out of Set. Margaret's Mars is in Leo in the 12th house. Now, Mars being in Leo is actually a good placement for writers and creative people. You know, Mars is like our warrior, get up and go energy. And you put that together with Leo, who loves attention, works well together for a writer and, you know, artist. She had a drive to get her writings read. So the malefic Mars was good to her in that aspect. But when you add the 12th house to the equation, the yang of Mars shows up. The 12th house can be a few topics, one of which is confined spaces, which includes hospitals. Now, this part got really cool. In astrology, there is a timing technique called annual perfections. From the time of her birth, life is set to 12-year cycles. With annual perfections, you can see what planet and what part of the birth chart will be active for that year. The third and ninth houses are usually connected with travel. The third is short distance travel. The ninth is long distance travel and foreign lands type of travel. When she was 26 years old, she was in a bad car accident that broke her ankle so severely that she was forced to stay home. The 26th year activates the third house, where her son sits in Scorpio. Her son is in the third house and it's squaring Mars by sign, not degree, in a 12. Even though the third house was activated, it makes a squaring aspect to the 12th house where her malefic and, it also squares the sixth, which is health and daily routine. Where her malefic inset set. What was the outcome of this? It was a car accident during a short traveling outing. Even though this was a bad accident, it was not totally bad. Shortly after that accident, she moved into a fourth house year. The fourth house is associated with home, family, and roots. The accident forced her to sit at home. This is when she started writing the book that made her famous. Although the car accident was a negative thing, something positive actually came out of it. It might have helped that when her fourth house became active, it activated the benefic planet Jupiter and Mercury. The book was published on June 30, 1936, when she was 35 years old. This is interesting because that would put her in a 12th house annual perfection year. Another thing associated with the 12th house year is endings. The writing, the editing, and rewriting part of the book was finished. And now it's time to release it for praise, Leo, her 12th house cusp. Remember, Leo likes attention. By the time she made it to her birthday a few months later, she was a star. When she moved into her first house, which is a self year, your self year, which activated Mercury. Again, her Mercury is located in her fourth house of home, family, and roots. That year, she became famous for something she wrote while sitting at home and became a household name. 2 years later, from when they first published the book, while in the second house year, she sold the rights to her book for the movie. Venus, her benefic insect, is in the second house, which is values and security, but you could put money there as well. She received $50,000 for the rights. When I look at her life astrologically, although she did have a couple of down events like the bad first marriage, the car accident that broke her leg, she did have a good life. And I think that has something to do with the two benefics, Venus and Jupiter, in the signs they rule. She also has a malefic, Saturn, in the sign it rules, Capricorn. I think some of these placements point to some of the good aspects that she lived in her life. Two more things I want to mention. The first is that Uranus can be shocking and unexpected. Sagittarius rules higher learning and beliefs. How did this aspect show up in her life? Even though she got backlash for the way Black people were portrayed in her novel, a little known fact about her is that she secretly funded the education of Black doctors at Morehouse College of Medicine in Atlanta. I do not want to end on a sad note, but the last thing I found interesting about her is that she died on August 16, 1949, 4 days after being hit by a car. The sun was transiting in her 12th house with Mars, again aspecting her natal sun in the third house, short travel.
Wow.
While on a short trip to an evening show, she was hit by a car, but this time it was not just a broken ankle. This accident cost her life. By the way, she was on a first house self annual perfections year. Unfortunately, it wasn't a good thing for herself. I talked about her life astrologically, but we did not look at her book. Even though I have heard a lot about the book in the movie, I never personally read it or saw the movie.
Me neither.
Yeah. The book is about love, war, class conflict, racial strife, and generational conflict. All of these topics can fit inside of Scorpio, which is her sun sign. And all of these topics she lived at one point in her life. I did forget to speak about one thing, her rising sign being Virgo, the analyzer. While sitting at home, nursing her broken ankle, it gave her a chance to really analyze her life. When she was analyzing her life, this became the backdrop of her novel because many aspects of her life are in the book. I'm glad my better half made me go with her to the Oaklawn Cemetery tours. I try not to let on how much I'm actually enjoying it, but I actually can't wait till the next tour. Hopefully, we will tour someone else who is as interesting to read about as Margaret Mitchell.
That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I do wonder if maybe her giving back to Black doctors was sort of like a way that perhaps she felt some sort of guilt because of like all the backlash.
It might have been made her conscious feel guilty. So, you know.
Yeah.
She gave
it
back.
I thought about that as soon as you said it.
That part is not highly publicized, but they should publicize it, you know. Yeah. Made me think differently about it.
I might watch that movie then.
Actually, my mother, who is 76, she said she couldn't even make it through the whole movie or read the book because of the racism and how it was being portrayed.
And she was a white woman, Margaret Mitchell.
Yes.
So she technically wrote a book that was very racist against black people.
Well, it's a timepiece period. It was set in the South, like during right before the Civil War and during the Civil War time.
Oh, so you mean that she? So you mean that she was very true to like all her Sagittarius energy? She was probably very blunt and like forward about everything that happened in her like home life or whatever.
Well, you know, I think it was set on a plantation. And the black person was like her maid and, you know, made her talk real black. I think, what was her name? Mammy or something? you know, yeah, it was, you know, I'm speaking out of not actually seeing it, just clips and from what I heard, but, you know. But if you read a lot of stuff about her life, she was introduced to that earlier in her life because she had uncles and stuff like that that were ex-Confederate soldiers.
And yes, and
then they bring her to see plantations, burnt out plantations when Atlanta got burned down and stuff during the war. So, I mean, and she was a little girl, she probably hearing these stories. You know?
Yeah, so she was very influenced by her upbringing and her roots.
And
it caused her to write something that was, I mean, I'm surprised that it won a Pulitzer Prize. Obviously, you know, like, I guess I understand why, but it was obviously something very raw and, like, real to that time.
And then it was 1930-something, so, you know, racism. You know,
post-depression.
Yeah. Racism wasn't looked down. I mean, and that was another thing too. I was thinking about, what is $50,000 post depression?
It's a chunk of change.
Yeah,
a large chunk of change.
Yeah, and that was for the rights of the book. So to do the movie, so that ain't saying what she made off the book.
It's kind of crazy though that. That it goes so hand in hand with the birth chart.
That's what really, really fascinated me. And to be honest with you, the way that I looked at astrology before reading Chris Brennan's Hellenistic Astrology book.
Shout out to the Astrology Podcast.
Yes, shout out to them, Chris Brennan. I wouldn't have seen a chart like that.
Yeah, I get it. No, I mean you went in.
Yeah. Well. Remember when I was really doing when you first started talking, I really was more focused on natal astrology, and I really stayed away from transits and prediction type stuff.
And me too. When I started, I was very much into natal astrology. And though I feel like I've gotten good at natal astrology, I can see why some astrologers will graduate from natal astrology and like go on to something else, because sometimes I feel like it becomes a little bit redundant.
Yes. And for people, so after you explain someone's natal chart and they really got it, you know, they come back to you for other questions, and it's kind of like you got to have something else. And it actually lets you kind of be able to see some stuff, like was this zodiacal release and then annual perfection, kind of lets you see today what's like, you know, live. This is,
yeah, of course, of you know, course. It's
the word I was looking for, real time.
Oh yeah, in real time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I personally am starting to sort of enjoy like events, like the astrology of events a little bit more.
Yeah.
I find myself kind of like
world events or events in people.
World events, like,
all right.
I guess like events that happen in your life. I also like I like the astrology of basically, you know, the events, people. What was I gonna say? I believe it's the astrology as well of it just escaped me. But mainly events. I'm starting to get a lot into events. Like anything that I can look at a transit and be like, oh, look, like this energy is going to pop up. And then like, boom, there you go.
Hmm. Yeah. As in that newspaper article you sent me today?
Yes.
About that guy poo-pooing the astrology of
Yes, I actually got that. I saw that on the Leo King's website, and he's obviously very upset about it. But yeah, these are just like, you know, the social media mainstream astrology personalities that exist right now. But yeah, but what I wanted to say to you while you were reading this is that you mentioned, and I also saw something about her growing up around her aunts and her uncles. Mm-hmm. And I've read before that, I'm not sure 100% if it's Virgo energy or Jupiterian energy that kind of like brings us around our aunts and our uncles. I want to say that maybe it's Jupiter. Hmm. But if so, you know, her Jupiter's in Sag in the fourth, so it would kind of make sense that she's like very close to like family members that are not necessarily mom or dad.
Yeah.
Because her story doesn't really focus on her parents. It kind of talks a lot about like her growing up around her like extended
family. Yeah. And she has four planets in the fourth, you know, so.
Yeah, family was important for her, but so was her career. Because she's got, she got the moon in the tenth.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is with Hellenistic astrology and all that, the modern astrology is every part of the birth chart is you.
Yeah.
True. Hellenistic is only one is kind of you. The rest could be talking about other people.
Which is the sun, right? In Hellenistic technically.
Well, no. Depends on your rising sign.
Okay. Oh, on the ruler of your chart.
Yeah. And that is more symbolic of you.
I understand. Okay.
So me being a Gemini rising.
The ruler of your chart is Mercury.
Yeah. And so the other planets and stuff could be talking about other people.
So, which is true because you're a messenger.
So you, if you,
you're very much like a Mercurial messenger, like Hermes or whatever.
Well, thank you, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you used to drive Lyft, I remember that you used to tell me sometimes that like people would tell you stuff like, "Oh my God," you know. Or you find, you know, random strangers that are crying or whatever, and you'd say something about their chart, and they're just like, "Oh my God, you just gave me hope," type thing. And every time you would describe these stories to me, I'd be like, "Well, it's kind of like these people had no idea that they were getting into a car with somebody that was going to give them a message that they really needed to hear."
Hmm.
If you think about it, that's the true essence and energy of the ruler of your chart. Mercury, a spiritual messenger nonetheless, because I can't forget about your 10th house in Pisces.
It's interesting that you say that. Only thing I will say is when you are sitting inside of a circle, you cannot see 360 degrees. The way you just put that, I've never seen it like that. And you just gave me a wide view lens of what I was doing.
Moon and Sag right here.
I was
here,
just about to say that Sag moon just came out.
Yep. That's what it was.
Yeah. That Sag moon just came out and showed us.
The bigger picture.
Had a presence on the show just a few seconds. By the way, if y'all want to know what we're talking about, Sag people, Sag energy can see big picture.
My entire life, it's been like this.
Is there any things that you wanted to bring up as far as
about Margaret Mitchell's birth chart?
No, we're gonna move on from Margaret Mitchell. I think we had enough of Margaret. As far as aspects or anything going on in the sky that you wanted to talk about?
Okay. Well, so Saturn went into retrograde last night, which is technically today at 12:10 a.m.
Right.
And then Mercury, planet of communication, just entered Gemini today. So we're feeling that. We're going to be feeling very, very curious and wanting to sort of like socialize and spread our little butterfly wings and just sort of, you know, talk and chatter and you know, go from flower to flower pollinating.
That might be why we're doing this podcast today. That's my first house, Mercury.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a good one. You said it. And I was like, oh, I don't know if we should do it, you know, because Saturn in retrograde, but hey, it's coming out great. And then tomorrow, no, sorry, on Wednesday, which is the 13th, Mars is going to enter Pisces, and you know Mars doesn't like to be in Pisces technically. And then the same day,
what is Mars in fall in Pisces? Wait. Yeah.
No, Mars is in the fall. Mars is in its fall in Cancer.
Cancer. All right.
But I don't think
it's a water sign. It's a water sign.
Yeah, it doesn't express itself as assertively as it should. And then later on that day, Venus stations retrograde in Gemini.
Wait, I thought Venus is retrograde already. It's not?
Not yet. It's
when's
in Gemini.
It go retrograde?
It's gonna be, yeah, 21 degrees.
When does that go retrograde?
And then on Thursday, the day after, Jupiter in the morning goes retrograde at 27 degrees in Capricorn. So it's going to bring up, because it's going to be around those degrees. I'm not super into the degrees either, but I know I remember the degrees from the Pluto Saturn conjunction in Capricorn, and mm-hmm. Jupiter, like back in January, when everybody in astrology was saying, oh my God, the world's going to end, something really big is going to happen, blah, 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 blah. Well, the coronavirus happened. That was a really big thing that was going to happen. And now we're kind of going back into pre-coronavirus days.
How many planets we gonna have retrograde at the same time?
Saturn, Venus, and Pluto. Pluto's already in retrograde, so technically four.
Oh man, four planets in retrograde.
Yeah. It's a very wise time to not make any major decisions or not make any like major purchases or sort of just stay put and just sort of like, you know, reflect, just kind of test the waters, see what it is that you really like about whatever situation that's happening right now.
What to do about those exes that contact you with Venus being retrograde? Yeah, I gotta watch out for that, people.
Am I supposed to say this on record or off record?
I'm just saying, well, you know.
I got people that are gonna be watching this.
Well, I'm not talking about us. I'm just, you gotta warn the people.
You're right.
With Venus being retrograde, what happens with Venus being retrograde?
There's gonna be a lot of talking, a lot of conversation, yeah. You know.
But by the way, if exes do pop up, just realize sometimes retrograde is the reason they're popping up is for closure.
Yeah, and things, you know, usually retrograde cycles point out to like things that are coming from the past, like back up.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically that, to kind of like have some sort of like closure and just sort of like, you know, move on to that next chapter.
But
just revisit. You usually tend to.
But it ain't saying rekindle.
But I think it could. It could rekindle, but then, I mean, it's not advice to rekindle But I, you know, it's funny you say that because I feel that even though sometimes like the astrology will tell us, oh, like don't go back to something, right? But so it's almost like we understand in some sort of unconscious way, or rather like our subconscious understands that, yeah, like we shouldn't go back to that, right? But there's always a part of us that is curious to kind of like see or understand what it is that we would be going back to, right? So if we tend to go back to that which has already happened and now it's coming back and we're sort of like looking at it again, we don't usually find ourselves in that same state that we found ourselves when that first thing, whatever that came back, left us to begin with.
Yeah.
Usually we freak out and we think, oh my God, I don't want this thing to come back because I think that, you know, it might, I don't know what it's going to do to me. I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I'll be wise enough to process it or whatever. But really what tends to happen is it's coming back also to let you know that you have also evolved. So yeah. There's things about you that have actually leveled up.
Or to remind you the reason you left them alone in the first place.
Yeah, basically.
You know? Hey, that person that you had that you still had in the back of your mind, like way back there, like, and then that person shows up, and then when they show up, you be like, oh, I remember.
Yeah.
That's why we don't talk no more. which can lead to closure.
Yeah, it does. It leads to closure.
Yeah.
But it's sad because retrograde periods usually do show you that. And I mean, but it doesn't have to be sad. And here's my Sag moon that's going to come out, because it could also show you that, hey, like, you know, maybe that wasn't what you thought it was, but it doesn't mean that it can't evolve into something that is different than that.
Yeah.
Right? So to give people a brighter perspective, you know, maybe you find yourself in a situation where something is coming back that you necessarily, you know, don't want it to come back, or that you kind of have to learn from it. But it doesn't mean you have to X out the person completely from your life. It just means that perhaps the relationship will transmute into something different, something that's more convenient for you now in this state of existing.
Huh. Well, what if you're involved with somebody already and then that X shows up? There ain't no, you know, hey, I'm about to break up with my person who I'm with now just to get back with you.
What if the ex shows up and you decide that you can give it a try and be a friend? Hey, there's a possibility for anything.
How would your better half feel? Would you be friends with your exes?
Now that goes into like personal psychology.
That's what I'm saying. You sitting up here saying maybe the relationship.
How would the person feel? Well, I mean,
it ain't going down.
Hey, but you know what? Sometimes those moments are important because it's fun. I actually know of something like this happening. It will sometimes an ex showing back up to that sort of brings a little bit of problems or triggers to an existing relationship could sort of be like an eye opener for that partner that is not sort of like, you know, meeting the expectations or I guess being all that they can be in the relationship. So if you think about it, a retrograde period doesn't have to look or feel like a nightmare. It could just sort of be something that opens your eyes and tells you, oh, wait, hold on. Like, let me not drop the ball.
All right.
Did you like that interpretation better?
Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I don't want people to walk away from this podcast thinking, hey, we telling people if in this retrograde period, if an ex show up, break up with somebody and go back with your ex.
No, I would not say that at all. I would.
Well, that's kind of how it started to sound a little bit.
Maybe, but thank you for correcting me. I would just recommend that before you act, you just sort of take a pause and make sure that you understand what you're doing.
Yeah, and I like my version better. Hey, that ex is showing up to show you the reason why you let them go, and if you are in a current relationship, may even make you appreciate your relationship that you're currently in even that much more.
That's true.
God, I'm glad I'm not dealing with that no more.
I'm technically, yeah, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that right now. That's not really my case. I'm kind of hoping that the Venus retrograde is more like, I mean, for me, it's going to affect my third house. So hopefully I learned something that I didn't learn.
All right. All right. I'll just say this. And since it's my show and, you know, I know our honesty, not recently, but a few years ago, during a retrograde, I had it was about 4 years ago, I guess, during the retrograde. I had an ex who kind of had in the back of my mind.
That's how
you know that one of those persons, mm-hmm. that, you know, you broke up, you kind of like, well, they called me out of the blue during the retrograde. And we had a 10-15 minute conversation. And after I hung up the phone with that person, I said to myself, thank God we broke up what we did, because I am so glad I wasn't with her when she was going through all that crap. So that gave me closure and helped me to release that one.
Yeah. Release. That's a good... They kind of hit all the words that start with R-E. Release, review, renew.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to add before we close it up?
I think we got it all, unless you have something you might want to say.
No, I'm good.
Okay, well.
So I would like to thank everyone for joining us for episode 15, Born to Write. You can reach Claudia at
w.a.l.t.a on Instagram, Walta. Or you can just search the hashtag When Astrology Leads to Awakening.
All right. Website?
WaltaVision.com.
All right.
And there you can find my email and my phone number. I actually do a free 15-minute consultations if anybody wants to talk about anything. If you just have like a random question about astrology or anything, you can always call me and discuss it. It's my favorite topic to talk about.
So look up Claudia on Walta Astrology. And if you would like to get a reading from me, or a custom t-shirt, or read my blogs, you can check me out at iamastrologyreadings.com. As always, know thyself and balance your energy.
I say my mind don't act right, just smoking just my lungs. Let's soak on canyons, to the neck at least one. Let the hands go stale, do the shit to play away. Every hit is like a stairway, open my eyes to a better day. Nothing in the world is like a feeling that totes smoke. There's a fire to the ass end, it's running shit, no, it ain't no joke. Way to other places like I'm surfing the internet. I got the hookup, just pay me if you niggas need to connect. And the day like I started with smoke clouds up in the air. Pass the blunt around and around like a ride from World's Fair. I wanna smell like cologne, posted up like Armstrong. Most people read magazines, I even smoke when I'm on the throne. In my lifetime, I probably smoke 10,000 pounds. I'm a better to smoke game, I can fuck how that shit sounds. I call it how I see it, take my eyes and use the third. You happen to see me on the street, you know I'm high as a bird.
If you like these daily horoscopes and want one personalized for you, Same style, 3 minutes, about your chart. You can book a first impression reading at IamAstrologyReadings.com for $25 and I'll record it. Drop it right here on the feed. Tips is also welcome. Even $1 helps. Full deep dive readings also available. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all at I Am Astrology Readings. My brother's got to eat too. I appreciate you in advance.